Coming up on today's show.
So many athletes deal with injury. They deal with this pain that they go through. If Saint Sebastian can go through being, you know, 20 arrows on him and he doesn't die, there's hope for all of us.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter. You will receive that on Monday and get a glimpse at who the newest guest interview is. And there is always a Did You Know section in there as well. Look for the newsletter sign up on CatholicSportsRadio.net. After you put in your name and email address and check the opt-in box and hit the subscribe button, do watch your email then for a confirmation email that you'll click on to verify that you signed up. At the top of the website, there are links to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, okay, fine, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. In addition, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And, of course, social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. This week, Thursday, February 8th, will bring the NBA trade deadline. Fans wait with anticipation to see if and what their favorite team might do to bolster their roster and improve their chances of not only getting into the postseason, but making a deep playoff run. When they talk about teams being buyers and sellers, some of the general managers are looking for an acquisition who, and sometimes you'll even hear them say this, will breathe new life into the lineup, not only out on the court, but in the locker room as well. Sometimes you'll hear an athlete be interviewed a month or so after they got traded to a new team, or maybe at the start of the next season following their having been acquired at the trade deadline, and they will marvel at how they feel that having changed teams has breathed new life into their career. They almost feel reborn in their new city. 3 weeks ago in this show, you heard ultramarathoner Jimmy Coleman talk about his plunge into his faith in preparation for becoming a father, and during that interview, he talked about the miracle of creation. Indeed, our Heavenly Father gives us life, and rededicating ourselves to Him is an opportunity to be renewed. His miracle of creation is told in Genesis 2, verse 7, which reads, quote, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a sports content creator who has more than 1.6 million followers between TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter combined. She is also an NFL and college football correspondent, and has extensive sports broadcasting experience, including having been a sports reporter at the local news station in her hometown and having done sideline reporting for the NBA affiliate team from her hometown as well. As a student athlete, she had competed in softball, basketball, and cross country, and later started into doing triathlons. On the faith side, she has powerful testimonies of perseverance, which she will share with us today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Annie Agar.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. What an intro. I loved it.
Thank you. It's great to have you here. I'm so looking forward to this, some wonderful fellowship that I know that we're going to share. But let's start first, though, by having you tell the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Absolutely. I was born originally in Detroit, which everyone makes fun of on social media because I'm a diehard Packers fan. Born in Detroit, my family now lives in Grand Rapids, so on the west side of Michigan. And I have an older brother who is 29. I'm 27. And then I have a younger sister who's 21. So I was right in the middle.
You are a cradle Catholic, but there's a little bit of a but.
That is very true. Yes, my family grew up very Catholic. My mom, very strong in her faith. My dad also is Catholic, and then it grew stronger once they got married and started up a family. But my parents never really forced religion on us or said, you have to be Catholic. They showed us by example, I think. And the way that they led their lives really showed to me how being Catholic can be such a peaceful thing, and it gives you direction in life when you have so many ups and downs in life and so many questions. Being Catholic and having these rules and a faith to follow, like, that was really helpful for me to see. And so they kind of left that up to us, and they raised us with a Catholic education. But then at the end of the day, it was up to us to go after that more and to focus more on our faith. And I'm really grateful that that's how they did it. You know, a lot of people follow a lot of different paths in life. They have a lot of different ways that they see religion, but this one worked out so well for me and really allowed me to dive more into my Catholic faith because it's what I wanted to, not because of, you know, I was being made to do it type of thing.
Yeah. And I have one of those follow-up questions coming to mind where I'm going to ask you, and it's really a case of, well, that's a question for my parents, because the thinking is, if you're a parent and you tell a young child, I'm going to give you a choice, though, you're thinking to yourself, do I really want to trust a nine-year-old to know what's right? in their best interest?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I will say the choice came very later in life. They made us go to Catholic school all the way up through, you know, high school. And yeah, and I think our education was very different, too, because, like you said, we'll get into that later. But my brother's circumstance was a little bit different. So we ended up being homeschooled for a lot of it. And it helped with my brother because of his situation, and it was a very faith-focused curriculum that we used. So I think that, in a sense, was great too, because then you learned about the faith. You didn't just learn what rules you were supposed to follow. I learned the background of these saints that I now attribute so many, you know, great prayers to, and I just learned so much more about what happens behind the whole Catholic faith. I think a lot of people who didn't grow up in a Catholic education, they had to learn as they grew older. So I'm just very grateful for how I was raised and what my parents taught us.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. Before we move into all of your sports participation, let me back up to each of those first two questions, family size and what you just described for us about being raised Catholic. Tell us more about your mom and the challenges she faced, and then how those impacted you in terms of faith lessons, examples of commitment to the Catholic faith.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people say, you know, well, it's easy to be Catholic when things are going your way, and it's easy to pray when life is all sunshine and rainbows. So my mom, and she's very open about this, she lost her family at a very young age. I'm going to try not to get emotional. her brother passed away when she was 16 of a very traumatic accident. It was involving a car. I don't know how much detail she wants me to give, but it wasn't a car accident. It was just involving a car. And then when she was 19, they went to the Bahamas every year for vacation because they didn't want to be, you know, at home without my uncle there. And when she was 19, my grandma got hit by a car in the Bahamas in front of my mom. So my mom, I wasn't going to get emotional this quickly. And my mom lost her brother and her mom by the age of 19 in front of her. And then my grandpa passed away a couple years after that when she had met my dad at the time. And her faith is so strong. Oh my gosh, she is the most faith-focused person. And so I think it shows people, and I tell people this for a reason, because a lot of people don't know that she dealt with all this because you'd never see it. You know, she never shows it. So the fact that she has this strong faith, and it would be so easy for her to say, you know, God, why did you let this happen? But she sees it as, instead of letting it happen, they're now looking after us from up there type of thing. And that so many things have happened, Bruce, in my life. It's crazy where I know that's my, you know, that was my grandma. And it's little like they do it on purpose too. It's funny things. Like my grandma was a singer. So songs will come on when I least expect them. And I'm like, okay, that was Grandma Inman. Like she's looking down at us. So it is just so wild how she thinks and how her faith is. That totally has shaped how my family sees struggles and sacrifices and all this pain that happens comes from a place of, you know, it happened for a reason. We have to think about the good side of it. And she's so, so positive. So the whole moral of that sad story was to say that her faith is strong because of that, when a lot of people's faith could have faltered. And she shared that with us. So I think that's where my strength in the Catholic faith comes from, because I see her strength in it as well.
Yeah. And when you see her and what she has dealt with and the way that she has handled those, and the fact that she didn't say, why is this happening to me? Or she didn't turn her back and walk away from God and say, forget it, I'm done with the Catholic faith, with Christianity, with God, with anything. how could you, as her daughter, do anything but follow your mother's
right.
example?
Great point. Absolutely. I have no excuse to because she couldn't. So why would I?
Okay. I'm going to come back around to other members of your immediate family, and that's going to combine faith and sports for us too. But first, wow, softball, basketball, and cross country. When did you first start participating in sports? And was it that you just threw yourself into it all? Or was there maybe someone that was influential in getting you started into one or more sports?
Great question. Yeah. So I was shy when I was little, believe it or not. I'm the polar opposite of that now. But I was so shy and I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to leave my family, basically. And my dad, who played in the minors for 4 years with the Tigers, he was a relief pitcher. He loved sport. I mean, my family, we'd get around the dinner table. We talk about what games were on that day. We just talked sports was literally any and only thing we talked about. And so when my dad suggested softball, I didn't really want to do it right away because I was young. I mean, I started in Little League, so I was really young, 6, 7 maybe. And my dad said, no matter what you do, like, you just have to try it, right? They did that with everything. Just go out there and try it. With all of my siblings, they said the same thing. I ended up absolutely loving softball, played it many, many years. My dad coached me for a lot of them, which is hilarious if you've ever seen a baseball player try to coach softball players. He didn't know if he could say the word butt because he'd be like, you have to field a ground ball. Can I? And then he'd look at the parents and go, can I say butt? Can I say keep your butt on the ground? it was great. So yeah, so I actually have a really funny quick story about that. I was a catcher for reference. Loved being a catcher. Played in high school. I was their starting catcher. I put a lot of work and effort into being a catcher, but I wanted to be a pitcher like my dad. Mm. And so when we first were in Little League and we rotated positions and he would move us around, my dad was the coach at the time. He'd move players around. He put me in as pitcher and I thought, okay, this is my chance. I'm going to show my dad I can be a great pitcher. Mind you, everybody that's seen baseball and softball, it's a very different sport, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I had no idea what I was doing. So I get in there and I was so nervous. And my mom, being the saint that she is, she said, just say a little prayer before each pitch. You know, just say a little quick, like, God help me with this pitch. Get it across the mound, whatever. So I'm out there and I'm young. I'm 12 or 13 maybe. And I'm doing really not great. And I'm out on the mound and it's taking forever to throw every pitch. And so my dad comes out and he's like, Annie, you know, and he's in his angry coach mode. He's like, Annie, what are you doing out here? It's taking you like 30 seconds between each pitch. And I looked him dead in the eyes and I said, Dad, I'm saying a Hail Mary. Leave me alone. He's like, you're saying a Hail Mary before every pitch. You cannot do that. So safe to say I did not pitch ever again. My dad took me out, which is so, again, how God works, because he took me out of the game, put me in a catcher, and I stayed there for the rest of my career. So, softball was a very important part of my life. Absolutely loved it.
That's great. That's great. So while we're still talking about family, let's back up to your immediate family, because this will help us segue into even more besides the softball, basketball, and cross country that you did. I'm referring to your having started into triathlons, which mm-hmm. brings your dad back in, but it also brings in your brother, who is an important part of your story, your journey.
Yes, like I said, I ran cross country, and we did a lot of running growing up, and then transitioned into triathlons, and I did those. I was 16 at the time, and I did a couple of those, and my brother, who has cerebral palsy, a lot of people on social media have found out about him now. Like, he's a big Lions fan, so we have in the family rivalry, and he did a triathlon one time with a group called My Team Triumph, and they are a special group who take special needs kids through races, like Ironman races, some short triathlons. Mm. They do a lot of marathons. So my brother did that race, and my dad and I looked at each other and thought, why can't we do this with my brother? Why can't we take, you know, his son, my brother, through a race? And my brother at the time was 19, and so my dad and I started training. Did a triathlon with him, and he fell in love. He's an athlete at heart. He's competitive. He absolutely loved being able to finally compete on a level that he could with other athletes. So we did a couple of those. I went off to college. My dad decided to not stop there, being the overachiever that he is. He went and they did a couple marathons, and then they did a half Ironman. A half Ironman and Ironman are some of the longest distance races in the world. An Ironman is a 2-mile swim, a 114-mile bike, and then a marathon, a 26.2-mile run. And my dad does all of that while pulling my brother, my 150-pound brother,
wow.
in a chariot. They have a bike attachment on the back, so he'll sit on the back of the bike. It's absolutely incredible what they do. So now they've traveled. If you want to look him up, too, they've been on ESPN, did a story at E60 about him, and they do races all over the world now. And my brother actually gets out at the end of the race, and he'll walk. He did this one day. He told my dad, he said, you've been carrying me and bringing me through races for so many years. I want to return the favor. So he gets out and he walks the last mile of the race. And if you know about cerebral palsy, it's really hard for people with that disability to move their muscles. They have to kind of override in their brain what's happening or what's telling their muscles to move. For him to walk a mile, that's like us to walk a marathon. So really hard feat for him. And that ties back into faith too, because he is such a strong person. He sees his disability as an opportunity to show other people what they can do. And he does that through faith. He does that through, he's a motivational speaker. So he, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to make you cry twice in one show.
Darn you, Annie Agar. You didn't tell me to have a box of tissues nearby. Oh my gosh, and we're only halfway through.
Oh, I know. But yeah, so his purpose in life really is to inspire a lot of other people. And he is the most, I just can't even say enough good things about him. He is an incredible person.
Yeah, beautiful. And honestly, we're going to have a lot more to cover here, but we could wrap up right here, folks. And already you've heard such great testimony from Annie. Everything that you heard that her mom endured and the way that that has impacted her. Now this revelation, in case you've not familiarized yourself with Annie's story and her family and her brother. And so this whole journey that she's been on, it's just tremendous, tremendous testimony. There are a couple notable dates I want to mention now that we are into February. We just, a few days ago, passed the 5-year anniversary for this show. It was back on February 1st, 2019, that the first episode of Catholic Sports Radio had come out. Today is episode 262, and I have not missed a week once in the show's first 5 years. Thank you, God. Last week, during my conversation with former pro soccer player Aaron Yenny, I was saying that I was unsure if that would be considered the 5-year anniversary episode, despite being released on January 29th, or if today's with Annie Agar on February 5th would be it. Either way, as I did last week, I have to say again how grateful and how blessed I am to have been called by God to serve him and all of you, the Catholic Sports Radio community, for 5 years now. Thank you so, so much for believing in me and the mix of faith and sports to continue listening every week. The other notable date comes up near the end of this month when I will be in Nashville for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I'm hoping the Lord will have something for me there in terms of connections I might make that might result in wider distribution for this show, or maybe a sponsor or two, or just some other strategic partner that I'm not thinking of. Please pray for me specifically on February 22nd, since I only bought a 1-day pass to attend. It's a longer event, but since I'm just a one-person operation doing the show by myself and having to handle everything related to Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air without getting any income for doing it and without having any sponsors, any and all expenses have to somehow be covered out of my own pocket, which gets quite challenging. That 1-day pass for the NRB convention was $350, which was a tough enough pill for me to swallow. There was no way I could afford to attend more than 1 day. If you want to congratulate me on 5 years of Catholic Sports Radio, if you want to help support my trip to Nashville later this month, if you just flat out enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're seeing value in what I do through this ministry and it's helping you in your faith life, I would ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to my ministry. It's as easy as going on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that you'll see there. It's fast and easy to do. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to agonize over. You simply decide what you're comfortable giving, type that amount into the spot that's going to start off with a dollar sign and a zero, and then hit the button to continue, and you'll see the option next to write a note, which I will see when it comes through, and then fill in the remaining fields, hit the Donate Now button, and you're done. I should mention that that will give you the option to use PayPal or a debit card or a credit card. Alternatively, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you've heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, or if you wish, you can choose to remain anonymous, as some folks have directed me to do. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Okay, I don't normally reveal what date the Catholic Sports Radio interviews are recorded, but this is just too amazing to not let all of you in on. The impact of the Lord's presence should be greater than just Annie and I knowing that this took place. She and I are recording this interview on January 20th, which of course is the feast day of Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. And to further punctuate how this can only have been ordered by the Lord, Annie, tell the audience what you shared with me in the lead up to today in terms of why that's so meaningful to you.
Absolutely incredible. When you sent me that email, it gave me absolute goosebumps because that's just the wildest thing. So since I was 16, I wear a Saint Sebastian medal. And my mom and dad got this for me on my 16th birthday, and it's engraved on the back. It's the quote, "With God, all things are possible," or "With God, nothing is impossible," whatever variation of that. And I have not taken it off since I was 16. Saint Sebastian is not only my favorite saint because obviously he's the patron saint of athletes, but so many prayers have been to Saint Sebastian, just my absolute favorite. And the story of Saint Sebastian is just so great too. And I've interviewed a couple NFL players who've come up and said, you know, because I always have my medal on, they've said, "Is that a Saint Sebastian medal?" Mm. So the fact that people in the sports community know just makes my heart so happy. And I can't even explain when I hear them say that. It's just the coolest thing. And I try to hold it in because I get so excited. I'm like, "You guys know Saint Sebastian?" But yeah, so Saint Sebastian's whole, you know, he's a warrior. He's a, same with Saint Michael. I absolutely love those two because they're so strong and so protective. Saint Sebastian was, his whole story, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, he was tied to a tree and arrows were shot at him and he still didn't die. Can you imagine, you know, 20 arrows being shot at you? And the picture, what's depicted on my medal, is him with arrows through his chest, through his neck, attached to a tree. And he didn't die and he was revived and later was a martyr for the faith. But the fact that he went through that, you know, that's the prayer that we pray to him, is so many athletes deal with injury. They deal with this pain that they go through. If Saint Sebastian can go through being, you know, 20 arrows on him and he doesn't die, there's hope for all of us. So that's why I just love the resilience in his story and the courage and strength that he has.
And come on, folks, if you don't think that the Lord's hand is on this ministry, don't call it a coincidence. That's not what it is. And it's just so amazing as Annie and I put those pieces together as she and I were setting this up today. So I just love the timing. It's so cool. Just to give all of you a deeper look inside Annie's faith walk, you all have heard me mention before that I am an oblate to the St. Leo Abbey here in West Central Florida, which means that I am regularly in fellowship with the Benedictine monks there. And Annie, in your case, share with the audience about your heart for the Franciscans.
Oh my gosh. I love the Franciscans. I grew up in a very small community. It's, you know, farming community. My church is in the middle of a field. People come in cowboy boots and belt buckles and come in after 5 hours on taking care of the cows and the, you know, all that stuff. So absolutely love the farming community. And the Franciscans, that's exactly what they are. They do a lot of farm chores. Mm. They run a farm and they produce food and things to give out to the community, not give out, but sell. That's how they make their living. So they own a farm and they are the funniest nuns. I just love them to death. And we helped out. So when I was growing up, I was a part of, it's called Christ the King. It was a, I don't even know what it was exactly. It was a community that young kids were a part of. It wasn't like a Bible study, but we would go out and do things like help out the Franciscans and get together a couple days a week and do different things like that. And helping out the Franciscans was my favorite thing because you would do all these farm chores and they were hilarious. You know, they're a bunch of nuns in their full garb and they're out there doing and they are the happiest people. So yeah, I have a strong place in my heart for the Franciscans.
So there was a convent there? Is that what we're to understand?
There was, yes. Yep. Right down the road from our church.
Wow.
Yeah. I just love them. Love them to death.
Well, Annie, take a drink of water, take a breath, exhale. I want to blow Annie's horn for her just a bit. What she has accomplished in terms of her content creating is just so, so amazing. Yes, the number of followers that I read off is most impressive, but as someone who can more than relate, when you keep in mind my other podcast that I've been doing every week for 10 years, the amount of hours that Annie puts in, the work that you don't see, I mean, the editing itself of her videos, it's so wonderful to see the fruit that all of that has bared. But Annie, with it comes challenges to your faith. They always warn content creators about people who will post nasty comments. And in the work you've done as a sideline reporter and as a sports reporter at the local news station in your hometown, how much have you grabbed on tight to that St. Sebastian medal that you've been wearing since age 16? How much have you gone to prayer? How much have you pulled from your mother's story that you shared with us earlier so as to find strength in the Lord when it is 1 o'clock in the morning and you're not even halfway done with the video you're editing, or you're staring at less than Christian comments that social media users are posting on those videos that you do put so, so much work into?
That's a great question. You know, the work is so rewarding in social media because it is so much work. But the second I put it out there and I see one person comment, "This made my day," laughed so hard. You know, I did this from the start to impact people. And I did it during COVID because everybody was so down and so, you know, depressed because of everything that was happening. I wanted to bring something light and funny to social media and kind of talk the way that sports fans talk, which is what I do in my videos. So the only thing that I question about myself is if I got it right. You know, I never want to get something wrong. That's the pressure I put on myself, you know, and that's where I lean on my faith a lot because I'm an overthinker big time. And I question, you know, I could know a stat in and out and I still question if it's right or not. So I just really want to make sure that I do justice for all the sports teams and all the fans and all the players and make sure the jokes are good. So that's where I question, you know, what I'm doing a lot. But as far as comments, you know, the hard thing, and I've talked to other influencers about this too, is it's so easy to only read the negative ones. But for every negative one, there's 10 positives, right? So just try to focus on the positive ones as much as possible. You know, the negative ones are there. No matter what you do, not everyone's going to like it, right? You know, there's people you think about out there that maybe do influencer content or some sort of content that you might find something wrong with. So there's always going to be someone that doesn't agree with what you're doing. But it's, you got to remember, it's the people that you care about and they care about you are the ones that are important. So at the end of the day, I have my family. I pray about it. I have my friends, my close circle. If they're proud of me and I'm proud of the content I put out and I feel like it's doing what I'm meant to be doing, which is bringing people laughter, then there should be no question about it that that's what you should be doing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's lighten things up here a bit. Got kind of heavy there. Annie's videos that she posts are so, so entertaining. So to turn anyone's frown upside down after that heavy subject matter that I just put out there that the average viewer probably doesn't think about, Annie, can you share with us maybe a real funny moment, say, from your work as a sports reporter or as a sideline reporter?
Oh, that's a good question. A funny moment. You know, I will say, I a lot of people ask me when I make these jokes, because I go hard at some of these athletes, right? I roast them. I'm not ashamed of it. And somebody came up to me and they said, do the athletes ever say anything to you? And last year for the Super Bowl, I did a Madden gaming lounge with Justin Fields and Ja'Marr Chase. And it was with Xfinity, so it was all predetermined. I don't even know if they knew I was going to be there, but I was hosting this Madden lounge. And so I sat down in between Justin and Ja'Marr, and they both looked at each other and they looked at me, and Justin went, oh, I know who this is. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry about that. And they started laughing. They're like, nah, you're good. You know, we like your content. So stuff like that. And I've had like Zach Wilson before this whole Jets fiasco, but when he first got drafted and he was still with BYU, I made some joke about him in the draft and how, you know, his mom had to help him with something because he looked so young. And then not 2 seconds after I posted the video, he DM'd me and I saw it, Zach Wilson, you know, DM, and I thought, oh dear God, he's gonna lay into me because I just roasted him in this video. And he said, hey, sent it to my mom. It was funny. So when the guys are happy about it and know it's all in good fun, then that makes me happy.
And see, shame on me, because I was thinking you were going to tell us a red carpet story where your heel broke or...
Oh, believe me, that's happened before too. So I'm not above embarrassing myself anytime.
I was going to say, she's too coordinated. She's an athlete. She's not going to fall out of her heels as she's walking through the red carpet.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So Ash Wednesday is coming up in a little over a week, on Valentine's Day, actually. And Annie, I love that you did not hide your light under a bushel, posting a picture on social media at least each of the last 2 years. I turned up in my research of yourself with the ashes on your forehead, which is something that a lot of public figures, a lot of content creators might think twice about and opt instead to keep their faith hidden from their followers.
Yeah, you know, that was a great question too. When, you know, as I kind of got bigger on social media, I didn't ever think about that because I always posted about Ash Wednesday. And when I first posted about it, after I'd gotten quite a big following, I saw a lot of comments saying, I'm so glad you shared this. And I never even thought about it. But then I thought back to growing up and I remember seeing Mark Wahlberg and all of these athletes that were Catholic show their ashes. And I just thought it was such an inspiring thing. So it never even crossed my mind to hide it or not post about it, you know? So I never do it in a sense where I want to make people feel bad or show off the fact they're Catholic, but I love Ash Wednesday because it's a great way to bring everybody together. You know, you see people that you didn't even know were Catholic because they post with ashes. So it's just a very uniting thing. And I love seeing people's posts about it. So.
Yeah, nicely said. And there was one such post that you did that was clever where you put 40-day challenge as your caption on it. And I thought, yeah, that's...
Yes, because the workout challenges were going around. So, you know, this is our 40-day challenge.
Yeah, nicely said. As we get set to close here, with all the work that you do in the sports world, you do get to travel a lot. You can tell us about a great trip that stands out for you if you'd like, maybe a Super Bowl or something. But what about finding somewhere to attend Mass on Sunday when you are out there on the road and then getting to see some different Catholic churches around the U.S.?
Oh, great question. They know, Bruce, that is one of my favorite things. I absolutely love going to churches in different states and different areas. When my dad and brother did an Ironman race in Hawaii, the world championship, and we went to Mass, we found a Catholic church out there. We went to Mass out there and it's in Hawaiian. It was the coolest experience.
Wow.
Because the cool thing about Catholic Mass is you know what's happening no matter what the language is. So hearing it in Hawaiian was so cool. So I strive to do that every place I go to. Last year for the Super Bowl, I was in Arizona, and obviously Sunday's a very busy day, and I still was able to find a church in my area and go to Mass before all the chaos ensued. And it's just a calming thing for me. I can just escape it a little bit. And I posted on my Instagram story a couple weeks ago, I'm trying to go to daily Mass more, because it's just 30 minutes during my week where I can just not have to post anything and not have to worry about my phone and just kind of be present. So I love finding new churches to go to. I absolutely love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Annie, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce. God bless you too.
And folks, like I said, the timing is just so beautiful. I think we just did this 2 weeks ago, but there's no way that I can't have this week's closing prayer not be the prayer to Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to be also a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.